Welcome to your Right to Speak discussions on child and youth rights and advocacy. This is episode 11. I'm your host, Salvatore D'Agostino, also known as Sammy. Unfortunately, due to scheduling issues, Josh will no longer be our co-host, but he's always welcome on the show. And I know his opinions will be very missed, at least by me. Today, we'll be talking with Melissa and Maria, and I'm very excited to have them on the show. We're going to be talking about the LGBTQ plus community. Melissa and Maria, can you please introduce yourselves?
Sure. My name is Maria. I'm a youth outreach worker in one of Scarborough's neighborhood improvement areas.
My name is Melissa. I've been working with youth and children for a very long time, for quite a few years. I'm currently working at a children's charity, fundraising for them. And I'm very excited to be here. Thank you for having us on.
Well, thank you guys for being on here. So let's just dive into it. I'm all about going straight for the questions. And you guys both can answer this. Do you find sexualities on a spectrum?
You want me to go first? Yeah. I do, but I haven't always. So okay, so at first I came out as bisexual. And then as I went on, I found that I was gayer and gayer as time progressed. And then I was always like, okay, so anybody who comes out, they're always just going to come out as bisexual, and then it just means they're gay. And I think that was kind of, you know, when you've been like oppressed for so long that you almost kind of like oppress other people sometimes too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was just kind of like me, like on my high horse. But I think like the more comfortable you become with yourself, I think the easier it is to accept that, yeah, like everybody can identify how they want, and of course there's different ways to be, right?
So you are saying that bisexuality does exist?
Yes, okay. I think everything exists. Yeah. Anything you want exists.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's a good way to say it.
Yeah.
So for myself, in terms of a spectrum, I 100% believe that there is a spectrum, and I do think that people either like are like oppressed and then they kind of switch on the spectrum, but like I've always identified as like bisexual, and I think I've gone like either more towards women or more towards men, but I've always felt that I'm on a spectrum, and I always felt like I should be like one extreme or the other. I felt like I got a lot of negative feedback from the LGBTQ community about being bisexual, that wasn't really a thing. But I think through the years I found that I'm just like really bisexual.
Did you also get like a lot of like negative from like the straight community about being bisexual, or was it mainly like...
No, I think it was more the LGBTQ.
More the LGBTQ,
yeah.
Right?
Because like, yeah, especially like I think a lot of lesbians, at least, I can speak to that. They came out as bisexual, and then they realized that they were, you know, just gay.
Yeah.
So I kind of always felt like I was pressured to kind of swing to one side or the other.
Yeah.
But I'm very, very, yeah, bisexual, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah.
I think it's an interesting thing because I've heard it a couple of times, at least within the gay community, that bisexuality doesn't exist. And I think it's because it's so attached to the coming out process, mm-hmm, and I guess people on their journey, it kind of has taken away from bisexuality. I think that people have just kind of attached it to coming out, and it's on the journey, and there's really, if you're in that bisexual stage, then eventually you'll just be whatever.
One or the other.
Yeah.
I think also for me too, just like as a lesbian, it's like a very insecure thing though, too.
Mm-hmm.
You almost don't want to accept it, right? Like that somebody can just like be with anybody, and that, you know what I mean? I don't know if that makes sense to...
Well, I've heard a lot of around like the bisexuality issue is that they're scared of, or the person dating whatever is scared that they're going to be cheated on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like...
Yeah, it's more of a scary thing if you know the person you're seeing is bisexual, and then you're not just like worried about the one gender, but you're worried about both genders that they're with.
And I never got that, to be honest, because for me, a cheater's a cheater.
Exactly.
I mean, it doesn't matter what sex.
Yet for some reason, it's still like this notion in my mind that like if you're bisexual, you're probably more likely to cheat. Shouldn't be. It shouldn't be, but I don't know.
I think it's become a very systemic and societal thing of what bisexuality looks like. Mm-hmm. I think also within the, and please don't you guys agree, how straight people see bisexuality is more of a kind of like a sexual fetish type of thing, right? Totally. Uh-huh.
Like the, what is it, like gay for the stay, like the college girls are just like bisexual for like fun, and then they like graduate and then they're straight again.
Yeah, so, I mean, just continue on what we're talking about, in terms of sexuality, do you both feel that it's changing, or it stays the same, or are you growing from it, or are you, like...
I think the more you grow, the more you learn about yourself, I guess it changes, and not just sexuality, but also, like, the way you identify in terms of your gender as well, I think changes.
Yeah, so I personally believe in sexual fluidity, that people are fluid in their sexuality. And again, like, I know that some people are, you know, very heterosexual or very homosexual or whatever. They kind of identify as such for a very long time, but I think there's a lot of people who are kind of on the scale, on a sort of a scale, and it kind of goes back and forth.
I agree. I feel like you can be straight and still be attracted to the same sex, if that makes sense, right? And vice versa, right? You can be gay, lesbian, all the rest that comes with it, but also be attracted to the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. And I think that gets confusing for people.
It's very confusing. It's very nerve-wracking, too, like, to not know kind of where you fit in and for it to, like, always change. Mm-hmm. Right? Or you say?
Do you think that, Sammy, do you think that that changes? Like, do you think that you can, like, not have any attraction for the same sex and then, like, later for it to switch or, like, maybe for it to go away or...
I mean, for me, it's... I mean, if we're talking about relationship-wise and, like, love and all that, I think you can be straight and fall in love with the same sex and vice versa. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Actually, I remember, like, quite a few years ago, I had a friend who was telling me about this girl that he knew who was identified as a lesbian but had a boyfriend, and that just angered me. I was so pissed off.
I remember you telling me about
that. I was like, you cannot do that. Like, that just messes with everyone. But, like, now that I'm more into the LGBTQ community and I've talked to people and I kind of get that experience more, I get, like, how you can identify as a lesbian and fall in love with, you know, the opposite sex, right?
Yeah.
I think it is a process of really growing and learning about yourself, right? Mm. I think society has just built this, I guess, straight world. So for people who are part of the community, there's a lot of growing that really needs to be done, because I think the straight world, society, whatever, has said, okay, this is what a lesbian looks like, this is what a gay person looks like, this is what a bi person looks like, this is what a trans person looks like. And if you don't follow, if you don't go within that box, it really screws you up.
Can I ask you as a fun question? Do you think that everybody has, like, a little bit of gay and a little bit of straight in them, no matter where you fall on the spectrum, or do you think there's people that are, like, 100%?
One or the other?
One or the other, yeah.
I think it's possible.
I think it's possible.
I love to think that everyone's a little gay.
I do think it's possible, though. I mean, I think kids are taught at a young age to be straight and play with the blue toys or play with the pink toys. So I think if that wasn't there, I think there's a little bit of gay in everyone.
And a little bit of straight in everyone.
Yes,
too.
A little bit of straight in everyone. Everyone in the gay community is like, what? So that, I guess that kind of goes back to, like, labels. And, you know, often I've talked with people within the LGBTQ plus community about labels, and, you know, I get like two sides of that labels are needed within the community and labels are not needed within the community. And another part of that is that I get that the community itself puts a label on itself. So mm-hmm. What do you folks think about all of that?
So I in my journey in the LGBTQ community, I've found that labels are extremely helpful for me, because it's like I didn't really know how to identify the feelings that I had. So to be able to like kind of read a definition really like helped me through like my sexuality and even like different things that I like, I guess, sexually. And I was like, oh, other people like that. That's great. Like, I'm normal, almost. So I found that the labels are helpful, but I also see how they're harmful if you, like, you attach yourself too much to it. And then that kind of goes back for me to fluidity, where it's like, oh, okay, like, this is what makes sense to me right now. This is what's working for me right now, but I'm not too attached to that label.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. I really like to know that I'm not alone in something. But at the same time, it's also like a little bit isolating, because what if you're just like everywhere? You know what I mean? Like all these different labels describe you, but not anything in like particular. And then mm-hmm. you almost kind of feel isolated at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, for me, like the LGBTQ plus community is one big label.
Yeah.
And I like to think of it as a tree. Okay. That's like the roots.
Let's hear it. Okay.
That is the roots, right? But out of that, you're getting trans. That's one branch. You're getting bi. That's another branch. You're getting gay. That's another branch. You're getting lesbian. That's another branch. You're getting pansexual and all that, right? So I think all being under the LGBTQ plus community, in a sense, is oppressive in itself. I don't think the community has, my understanding of it is that the community has not started to see the sub communities within mm-hmm. itself.
Yeah.
Right? What do you guys think? Does that make sense?
Can you expand more on that?
Can I expand more on that? I mean, I feel like, let's say you are, I don't know, you're bi, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you're part of the LGBTQ plus community. Mm-hmm. Okay. You're also part of the bi community, mm-hmm. right? What does the bi community look like? Mm-hmm. I don't think that's really been ever explored. I mean, mm-hmm. if let's use gay guys as an example. If they want, gay guys can really go on a dating site, can go on Grindr, can whatever, right? Mm-hmm. There's easy ways to meet a gay guy.
Right.
And I would argue the same thing for lesbian women as well.
That's right, yeah.
Where does a bi person meet someone? Mm-hmm. Right?
Actually.
Oh, well, that's perfect.
Just everywhere, really.
Okay, so I've actually had, like, issues with this where, like, I've gone on, like, dating sites where I'll put, like, bisexual, and then I get, like, a bunch of really disgusting, perverted messages, in my opinion, from, straight males, and then at the same time, like, lesbians who identify as lesbians don't feel like I'm serious about the relationship because they're bisexual. So I've actually had issues with that before, where it's like this weird,
yeah.
So I actually, to solve that problem, I have a straight account, and
that's the thing, you shouldn't have to do.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly,
right?
Exactly.
And it's the same thing for transsexual.
Yeah,
right.
That's right.
Same thing for pansexual and all the other, you know, parts of the plus community, right? I think the plus is kind of like the oppressive part of the community in a sense,
yes.
Right? And I think the only reason why the B for bi is in the LGBT is in there is because it's seen as a coming out process,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
But really, I mean, I feel like the group is kind of oppressing itself. It's not recognizing that there's other communities out there, and there's, Mm-hmm. There should be other ways to meet people, right? Yeah. It's kind of like intersectionality and all that stuff.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah?
But it's sometimes it's so hard to look beyond your own experience. You know what I mean? Like, it's so hard to... Like, we're talking about trends right now. I have no idea. You know what I mean? It's so hard to... I don't want to say to consider, but, like, how do you... I don't know. You know what I mean?
But that's the thing, though. I think with the community itself, it fought for equality for so long.
Yeah.
But it fought for equality for a specific part of the group. Mm-hmm.
For
right?
Part of the group, yeah, so it wasn't very inclusive, yeah.
So what about the other parts of it? I mean, and please correct me if I'm wrong on this, but my understanding with how Pride started was with a trans woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if that's how Pride started, why are we so behind in trans rights?
That's right.
Why is it still taboo to talk about it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, why do we need, what's her name? Jenner. Yes. Why do we need Jenner to make it a hot topic?
Mm-hmm.
Why wasn't it talked about years ago when we were talking about gay and lesbian rights?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right?
I totally agree.
And same thing with the bi side, right? Like, why is bi just seen as a coming out process or a sexual thing, like a fetish?
Yeah.
I mean, it's mind-blowing to think that bisexuality is a fetish to some people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get it, but I mean, it's really... It's more than that. Yeah? We're on the same page here?
Yeah.
Just deep in the
heart
right now. Yeah.
Do you... But would you agree and say that we also need those labels? We also need the LGBTQ+. Or should we start... Should the community itself start branching off and kind of, in a sense, dropping off...
I think it would be nice over time, but it's good that labels have kind of unified us, so we've been able to see some changes that we might have not been able to see as one label.
Mm-hmm.
But I think as we progress, and I think as society evolves as well, I'm hoping that we can drop off some of the labels.
Yeah. So, yeah, I would disagree. I would say that the labels are very helpful, and they have been for me, but I don't think that, being very... strict and like, this is who I am, this is what I am, this is what you're not, kind of thing. I think it's helpful in like finding direction in life, but it's not the thing.
It's not the thing.
It's not the
defining.
Thing.
It's not the thing. It's not
the end of the journey. It's just the beginning. It just opens the door.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the labels kind of help start the journey.
Yeah.
But it's not the whole journey.
Yeah.
I guess so, but like, then why don't like straight people then need to have that like process of like identifying? You know what I mean? Why is it just gay people that need to have those labels so that they can feel like they belong? You know? So don't you feel like kind of that we have to stop that? We all just have to like everything needs to be normalized.
What do you mean by everything?
Just different genders and different sexualities, whether you're straight or gay or trans or cis.
So you're saying because there's a label, it becomes not normal?
Yeah, that's what it seems like almost. I'm not saying that that's like, what it should be, but I'm saying that almost because there's a label to it becomes like away from the norm, right?
I kind of get what you're saying. I mean, I'll attach it to like the coming out process, quotations. But you don't see a straight person saying...
I'm straight.
Yeah.
Right?
Or trying to figure out what that means. I'm like looking for it. You know what I mean?
You know, like children have always been somehow taught this is what straight is, and it's okay to be straight, right?
Yeah.
But any part of the LGBTQ+.
Honestly, I don't think that like labels have anything to do with that. I think that's just our societal norms, and that's what needs to be fixed.
Mm-hmm.
I think just because like, oh, she's brunette, she's blonde, she's a redhead, it doesn't mean that like, you know, one is better than the other. It should just be like, oh, heterosexual, homosexual, transgendered, like, cool, we're all good.
Yeah, but I don't think we're there yet. I think we have to get to a part of just, I mean, I think for me the community needs to get to a part of being like where the straight community is just being, right?
Yeah.
You don't, no one introduces themselves and say, hi, I'm straight, right? But I'm finding within the LGBTQ+ community, your sexuality comes attached to
it's
your identity.
Question, are you gay? Are you bi? Are you? It's always one of the questions that's always asked.
And why is that? Like, it's just, for me, it's mind-blowing. But, like, we're going to change gears a little bit, but we're on the topic already of the coming out process. So, and this is a very controversial topic within the community. Two questions for you folks. The first is, can you speak to this coming out process?
So would you like a story of the...
Whatever you're comfortable sharing.
So my brother actually convinced me to tell my mother that I'm gay. So he's like, oh, she'll be cool with it. Like, you'd be surprised. So I sat down at the table with her, and I told her I was, like, dating a girl. And she just looks at me. She's, like, this complete, like, horror on her face. She's like, shit. That's the first thing she said to me, and I was not expecting it. I wasn't expecting, because she's religious, she's very progressive, but it's, in our culture, it's seen as, like, you're gay, and you do drugs, and you have STDs, and that's the way it's, like, been ingrained, and sometimes, even when I feel like she's accepting it, then I'll hear her, like, having conversations with other people, and it's still kind of seen as a very, I guess, disgusting...
taboo type of thing.
Yeah. Not just that, but it's the disappointment that goes with it as well. It's, they don't understand, like, oh, that means I'll never have grandchildren. That means, you know, people are going to talk about you, and you're never going to have the same opportunities in life as everything. So that was my sort of coming out process. I don't know. Do you want
to... So, in terms of my coming out process, it took me a really long time. I was going to school and living at home, and my parents were very, very Christian, very religious, and I honestly had no clue how they would react, so I was pretty nervous about coming out to my family. When I found out I was bisexual, I was actually dating a guy, and... I actually, like, let him know. I was like, yo, I'm bisexual. And he's like, okay, like, should I be concerned? And I'm like, no. So we ended up breaking up, a few years later for, you know, completely unrelated reasons. But, like, I told my friends, and I think it's so great. I think it speaks to, like, our society, how, like, it's not perfect, obviously, but by and large, I've come out to my friends, and they're like, okay. Like, so kind of thing. Like, yeah. It's gotten a lot better. But I did actually recently come out to my parents, which I was, you know, it's very exciting. I just told them that, you know, I'm bisexual, which means that I like boys and girls. And I just felt it was important for them to know that, because I didn't want to lie to them anymore, and I didn't want to, like, hide things. And I had a girlfriend in the past and was, like, terrified about telling them. So, you know, their reactions were very calm. They're like, we'll still pray for you that Jesus will save your soul. But our prayers haven't changed, which is great, and they haven't really been acting differently towards me, so... Yeah, that was my coming out story.
That's so awesome that you expected, like, kind of a worse response, but it wasn't too bad. And I was like, oh, this is going to be fine. Like, boom. Shit. That's so funny.
So then, would you both say that society is more accepting?
I guess society's more expecting, but you still only have your own lived experience to go by, right? I don't know what it was like for somebody years ago to come out. Mm-hmm. I know for me, it was still difficult. So even if society's more accepting, it doesn't mean that it's not hard for me, right?
Yeah. I agree, like, 100%. I know, like, my cousin, he came out, and he was... so he's quite a bit older than me. I think he's, I want to say 10 years older. And he came out at a pretty young age, and that was a big deal for my family. I think they were pretty shocked by it, and I know that there's a lot of issues now in the family because of the way that they reacted. So I think me coming out to my family is a lot easier, and I think there's less stigma for women than men as well in the Christian community, but
I would agree with you both. I mean, I think the coming out process is very individualized. By large, I would say society is more accepting. But I think it's in the individual worlds of a person.
Yeah.
So, like, Maria, you brought up the topic of culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just because society by and large is more accepting how a person's family is and how they are with their religion and where they stand with that and where their family structure is and their understanding of that, I think, comes into play. And for me, and hopefully I don't offend anyone, but I find it very annoying when I hear people say, well, coming out is just easy. It's society's more accepting and it's much more easy to do it nowadays. And yes, it is more easy now and it is more open now, but it might not be like that for the individual. Mm-hmm. And I think the individual who is coming out needs to feel safe to do it and shouldn't feel pressure within the community.
Yeah, like for me to like, I was like afraid of coming out to my parents because I was afraid that they were going to kick me out of my house and like excommunicate me. So I had to make sure that I was good on my own, like financially secure, that if they just decided they didn't want to talk to me ever again, that I would be okay. Like that to me is crazy. Like that's like, it goes back to the coming out as like heterosexual. People don't do that. Like it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense at all.
Can you imagine we lived in a world I can't tell my parents that I'm straight and get kicked out? Like,
oh, that's crazy.
But yeah, I do think there's a lot of pressure within the LGBTQ plus all everything that I'm missing in that to come out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it puts a lot of pressure on people who are not out.
Mm-hmm.
Because my understanding is that for people who are out already in the community, if they're starting to date someone who is not out, that's a huge issue.
Yeah.
And I get that. Yeah. I totally get the reason behind that.
Mm-hmm.
However, we have to remember that it's not as easy as it is for someone else, right? And everyone's on their own journey. And I get that there's value in coming out and there's benefits in coming out and you don't have to feel like you're lying or hiding anything. I get all of that.
Yeah.
But I think what's often missed nowadays is feeling safe.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Also, at the end of the day, too, like whether society accepts you, there's you can be accepted, but there's still like a stigma attached to certain things, regardless of the acceptance, right? And we need to move away from that as well.
Yeah, and I think like also, like if we just bring in intersectionality now, if you're part of the Black community, if you're part of the disability community, Aboriginal community, coming out is just that much harder.
Yeah,
right?
Because
you're already in an oppressive, I don't want to say all Black people are oppressed, but I mean, you're already in a minority group, community, right? And now you're part of another minority group, right? Let's say if you're Black and have a disability and you're gay. I mean, I would not want to force someone to come out, right? Like, you're already part of...
Or put any pressure on them.
Exactly. Yeah. And I'm really finding... I think it's such a shame that the community is putting so much pressure coming out. And I think, for me, I think it's going back to fighting for equality and acceptance and all that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. We're not there yet to just be like, just come out. It's fine. We're not there yet. I don't think we're there yet.
I wish we were.
I wish we were, like, but I mean, the reality is I don't think we're there yet. And for people who are out...
Actually, that's one of the reasons why I decided to come out. I knew that, like, there's, you know, a chance that I'll end up with a guy and then I can pretend that I'm, you know, straight and wonderful for my Christian family. But I felt like it was important for me to kind of come out to them because I feel like in society, like, my parents, too, were saying all sorts of really ridiculous, like... stuff. And I was like, guys, you need to know, like, you're talking about your daughter, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, I forget my point, but it was a good one.
Yeah, like, if we're not there now, then when? But, like, there has to be, like, action. There has to be movement right away, you know what I mean? We have to, like, stand up for each other. So I know, like, you shouldn't pressure people because you don't know their situation and whatever, but, man, like, we gotta do something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Well, we are just about to wrap up here, and as my listeners know, they're probably waiting for this question, and I ask every guest this. What does advocacy mean to you?
So advocacy to me is when you either speak with somebody or support somebody or try to change a policy to help other people. And it looks different for every person.
So advocacy to me is listening to people, supporting people, meeting people where they're at and what they need. And I think, yeah, it's really just, to me, is like being kind of not a voice to the voiceless, but like being a support to someone who can't necessarily support themselves. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is a good way to end.
Thank you, Sammy.
Thank you, folks, for being on the show. I really do appreciate it. It was a great conversation. Would you like to say anything else before we end off? Any final words?
Just good night.
Yeah, perfect. Again, thank you so much for having having us on the podcast. It's really great to be able to talk about these things.
Mm-hmm. It's our first time doing it, too, so we're really excited about it.
You did a great job.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You too, Sammy.
Oh, thanks. So your right to speak will be posted on the second Wednesday of every month. Thank you again to Melissa and Maria for taking your time out to speak with me today. If you're a child or youth or have an idea of what we should be talking about on the show, please email me at yourrighttospeak@gmail.com. That's yourrighttospeak@gmail.com. Let's raise awareness together.
This concludes this month's episode of CYC Podcast. Tune in next time for more discussions on child and youth care. Subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. Visit us on our website at cycpodcast.org. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/cycpodcast.